cleaning them with rags that he plucked from his capacious pockets.
We've been seeing animals, rats, cats. Means there's probably people someplace close. Rain will keep hunters away.
Won't they smell the smoke and track us from that?
Rain stops that as well. Makes it hard to trace us. But you're right, Mildred. It'd be stupid to take a chance. Yeah, we'll set a watch.
When's my turn?
Never.
But Dad!
Haven't I told you what happens when you talk back? Good. Now look, Dean. There's only five of us. You never want to have anyone on guard on their own. Not in a situation like this. It needs pairs. It means 4 hours on and four off. You're the youngest, son. If we had a round number here, then I'd be happy to have you take your share of watching out. It's not that I don't trust you.
You mean it?
I mean it.
Okay.
Ryan had wanted to make love with Christy, but she'd pleaded that she was too tired and cold.
And please don't try the old line about warming me up, lover.
They pressed close together under the blanket as the fire died away, hearing Mildred and JB walking their patrol quietly outside. Ryan became aware of his swelling need, moving gently against Christy's buttocks.
All right.
Her hand came around to feel inside his pants and grasp him. Her strong fingers circled the shaft, easing it out. He wriggled Christy's pants over her hips, touching her, and finding her roused for him.
You lied.
Yeah, I did.
Their coupling was long, slow, and tender. Ryan took her from behind, reaching around and helping her to her own climax. Afterward, they dozed in the low-ceilinged rectangular room. Ryan was aware around midnight that the rain had finally stopped and the moon had broken through. It seemed like only a few seconds later that JB was kneeling by him, his hand resting on Ryan's shoulder.
Time for your turn, Ryan.
I've got to pee.
Christy and Ryan stood together, just inside the back entrance to the record store.
Sure, I'll wait here.
Christy vanished, moonlight flaming on her hair, toward a low wall that was close by on the fourth side of the row of stores. Ryan leaned against the doorframe and waited. Christy didn't have anything approaching JB's fanatic expertise on firearms, but she knew enough about blasters to be able to recognize the Ruger SP-1010 38 caliber revolver that was pointing at her face from a range of 6 inches.
I'll blow your fucking head clean off your fucking shoulders. One word is what it'll take. Please say one word, Q-Lit.
The breath in Christy's nostrils smelled sour, reeking of stale, rotten fish. There was also the unmistakable chill of another gun barrel pressed hard against Christy's nape. Her sentient hair curled instinctively closer to her scalp, as though trying vainly to protect her from the threatened bullet.
Be very still, lady. Be very still and very silent.
The moonlight was bright enough to dazzle Christy, coming out of the total gloom of the building. She'd walked around the corner of the 4-foot wall, belt already loosed, ready to drop her pants and squat to relieve herself. And they'd been there. 6. All women. In the shadows, Christy couldn't make them out that clearly, but she was sure they were muties. The skin on their faces seemed unusually pale, gleaming in the silver light like the belly of a fish. And their eyes were protuberant, as if someone had their thumb stuck behind them. One surprising thing was that they were well-armed, though not with the usual muty array of self-mades and cobbled-together old muskets. The blasters that Christy could see were all in good condition. She could catch the clean scent of oil from the Ruger, and all the weapons were handguns. Apart from the big Ruger, she noticed a 9mm Lama large frame, a Walther P-88, an Astra A-90 Parabellum, and a white-painted Colt Commander. The muty women all wore black clothes, from their leather boots to the high-necked shirts. 3 had on dark woolen caps, and 4 had mud smeared across their cheeks. Christy was aware of a tautness and discipline in the group.
Move out.
It was the woman behind her giving the orders.
Where to?
Just another fucking word in your rat food.
The woman holding the Ruger pushed the muzzle forward until the chromed steel was actually touching Christy's lips.
Freddy means it. Just one more word from you and you're blown away. Move over there toward those buildings.
The land dipped away, giving them dead ground in that direction. Even if Ryan happened to be looking in her direction, he wouldn't notice anything. Less than 30 seconds had passed since she left him. It would be another 2 minutes at least before he started to worry. And she knew she couldn't stall her captors for that long.
Keep your head down. 6 blasters on you. Get going.
Christy did as she was told. She'd lived close enough to death to realize that her life now truly hung in the balance. There wasn't even a chance to leave Ryan any clue to what had happened, and no hope of trying to draw her own concealed Smith & Wesson 640. As they scurried off, Christy wondered what the gang of women had been doing there. Had they smelled the smoke from JB's fire and been getting ready for a bloody raid? Or were they satisfied with a single prisoner?
Earth Mother, I beg your aid.
Ryan waited a little less than 2 minutes before becoming apprehensive. The short hairs at his nape began to prickle, and he drew the Sig Sauer, dropping from habit into a crouch. He didn't call out. It would be a futile and probably dangerous thing to do.
Where the hell is she?
After another crawling minute had gone by, Ryan ghosted out from the deep pool of darkness in the doorway, moving one cautious foot in front of the other, avoiding the fragments of brick and glass that littered the area around the stores. As he neared the low wall, Ryan hesitated, going onto hands and knees. He shuffled forward to the end of the obstruction, inching his head around the rough stone until he was finally able to see behind it.
Not a sign. Moonlight's not good for tracking, but there was enough to make out marks of at least 4 sets of boots.
Mildred, JB, and Dean were all awake now, listening as Ryan told them the sorry news of Christie's inexplicable disappearance. The ground had been wet from the heavy rain, and the footprints were deeply indented into soft mud. But they overlapped one another to such an extent that it wasn't possible to be sure of how many there had been in the raiding party.
Anything about the marks, Ryan? Give a clue to what we might be dealing with?
Small.
Women?
Possibly, but not likely. They were all small. I never heard of gangs of women killers going around.
JB took off his fedora and wiped his forehead, straightening his thinning hair.
Nor me. Knew a baron near Waycrossville, had him a sec force of gaudy sluts. Like watching him torture prisoners. Not the same as this.
If they got Christy away without her being able to give us any warning, then they gotta be good.
Ryan peered out into the night.
Well, tracks will be easy enough to follow at first light.
Why can't we go now?
Dean kicked out in anxiety.
They could have chilled her by now, Dad, couldn't they?
Maybe, son. Chilling silently isn't easy. They took the trouble to lift Christy, then they did it for a reason. Odds are she's still living.
Then why'd they steal her?
I wish I knew, Dean. I wish I knew. If all goes well in the morning, we'll quickly track them down and save her. Then we might find out just what's going on.
Move your ass, or you'll get a slapping!
One of the women, her fat body reeking of long, unwashed sweat, pushed Christy in the back, making her stumble and nearly fall.
Careful, Frankie. Don't want her spoiled. Not after the trouble to get her.
Whatever you say, Freddy.
That's right.
They were a half mile away from Vinyl Days, moving more slowly through the empty streets, with greater confidence.
Why have you all gone to so much trouble?
You were seen a day ago. One of our patrols. Trailed you since. Been waiting long for someone special like you.
Special?
The woman grabbed a handful of Christy's hair.
Ah! Special! No more talk. Just move.
Michael slept flat on his back, not all that far north of the others. He dreamed that he walked through the endless corridors of a vast cathedral, its vaulted roof soaring mistily above him. A choir was singing in a side chapel, invisible to him for the tracery of stonework all around. There wasn't a single living person to be seen. The air was thick with incense, and light flowed through a magnificent stained glass window at the north end of the nave, spilling gules and azure, deep vermilion and bold porphyry, amethyst and onyx, all across the pale stones of the aisle. Above the altar, he could see the figure of Christ crucified, life-size, so skillfully carved that it seemed almost human, the sinews strained and agonized under the suspension of the execution, the glittering nails driven deep into the frail flesh, his head thrown back, spittle drooling from the parted lips. There was blood dripping from palms and feet and from the gaping spear wound in the side. Michael drew closer, his bare feet silent on the flagstones. He knelt before the altar and gazed at the face of Christ. The Christ turned to look at him, and his mouth opened.
Return to me, my son.
Ha! Michael started awake, trembling.